I learned a lot of stuff, and so thank you, Jason, for leading.
Hey, can you get up on this table and see if your things light up right here? I don't know if you can. You don't have to answer that.
It's... I bet you that getting up there would be a lot harder than getting off.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. Somebody say Shavuot.
Shavuot.
Okay, you can do a little bit better. Somebody say Shavuot.
Shavuot.
By the way, Jimmy, Coca-Cola, you've got some redeeming qualities about you. I'm just saying. Shavuot. Shavuot is a feast in the Bible that the Jewish people celebrated. It's all of God's people were to celebrate it. We actually celebrate it. It's just that when the Greeks come along, you know how I am with Greek. When the Greeks come along, they ended up calling it Pentecost. Somebody say Pentecost.
Pentecost.
It means 50, right? These 50 days. So we've been in this whole series about the fruits of the Spirit. We've been talking about not walking in the flesh, but walking in the fruits of the Spirit, what that looks like. And last week we said something that if you're going to allow the Spirit to lead you, you have to do this. And it's a Y word. Does anybody remember?
Yield.
Very good. Absolutely. You have to yield. So we want to dive into some of these fruits of the Spirit, and we want to talk about ways in which you can yield to the Spirit in order to gain some of the fruits. So let's see. Let's get into this whole idea of Shavuot. Somebody say Shavuot again.
Shavuot.
Okay. See, God, I've noticed this about God. He tends to work in patterns. Let me show you some things that he set up for himself and its importance. So there's technically or typically six of something that involves work, and then there's a seventh. What do you suppose that seventh is?
Rest.
Absolutely. And then after seven rests, there's this 50. You have to count 49 days, and then on the 50th day, there's something special. So 6 days of work, then a day of
rest.
That's called Sabbath, okay? 6 years of working the land, then there's a seventh year of
rest.
Absolutely. That's called a Sabbath year. By the way, the Jewish people were kicked out of the land. You remember when Babylon came in and conquered them? Here's the thing. They were kicked out of the land because they weren't doing what was right. We tend to think that it was only because of their sin, but I don't know if you know this or not. You can sin, but the thing that does you the wrong the most is the fact that you're not chasing what's right. So the Bible says that out of you is what comes, the unclean things come out of. It's not what you put in, but what comes out of you. So if you're chasing the wrong things, chances are you're not chasing the right things, because the Bible says that you can't serve two masters at once. So it wasn't just that they were chasing their sin, it's that they weren't chasing what God wanted them to do. Okay, so they were kicked out of the land because they weren't celebrating, they weren't taking a Sabbath year for the land. I was talking to Max about this Sabbath year thing, and he goes, you know, when they were kids, some of you might remember this too, when they were kids, they had farmland that they worked on. In their fields, they would do rotation of wheat, beans, and corn, or the other way around.
Doesn't matter.
Anyway, wheat, beans, corn, and then clover, a ground cover. You let the land rest. And didn't realize it, but that's taking a Sabbath year. That's allowing the land to do its thing. Because when you do that, when you yield to that, guess what happens? You get good crop the next go around. That's what that's all about. Okay, so 6 years of working the land, there's a seventh year Sabbath. We can spend lots of time chasing the wrong thing, but if we're not chasing the right thing, then it's not a good thing. After 7 years, there's this thing called a jubilee. Somebody say jubilee. So that is, they had to count 49 years, seven Sabbath years, and then on this jubilee, it was a time of liberty. Now, this is a time when debts were canceled. How many of you have debt? This is a time when slaves were freed. How many of you know that when you have debt, back then that was considered being a slave? You're a slave to the government, or you're a slave to the man. How many of you are slaves?
Yeah. Slave to the bank.
Yes. How many of you wish that you could have debts canceled? How many of you wish that you could be set free from the slavery?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Amen. And how many of you say we need to celebrate a jubilee year so that can happen? absolutely. We need to be looking into these things. That's the first thing of 50. Then after Sabbath that follows Passover, they were to count 7 Sabbath days and then a feast on the 50th day called Shavuot. Say Shavuot or Pentecost. Okay, what is this Shavuot? What is this Pentecost? For the Old Testament people, they were called to yield their harvest, the first fruits of their harvest. When they brought them in, you guys, they did all kinds of work. But when they brought that harvest in and they said, "This is for you, Lord," do you know what he did for them? He blessed them. He not only blessed them, but he multiplied their blessings. So you could bring tenfold. Guess how much your blessing would be? 100-fold. How many of you would like 100-fold blessing? How many of you think, man, if we would only do that in today's society? I'm thinking farming, we'd have all kinds of crops. I'm thinking we would be in abundance. If we did that probably with money, that we would be in abundance. Do you know if the church were the church, and I'm talking not just Second Baptist, I'm talking the church, the body of believers, if we were really intentional about giving, offering what we could, we could end hunger in our nation. Real simple. Right? If we were intentional about giving to the Lord, and this isn't a tithe message. This is just saying that if we would set our hearts on the right path, and if we would give the Lord everything that we have, if we would bring that harvest, the first fruits of that harvest to him, that blessing would pour out, not just on our own life, but on the lives of the people around us. Amen? That's what this was about. It was on that day that when they were delivered out of Egypt that they came to the mountain. Moses went up the mountain, and God handed him the law, the Torah, the instructions, the Ten Commandments. Come down with the Ten Commandments on the day of Pentecost. Fast forward thousands of years after Jesus resurrected from the dead, he poured out his Spirit on the first disciples. He poured out, and this was a fulfillment of prophecy. He poured himself out, and he said, "Listen, I am sending you a counselor, and he will be the one that will teach you everything, and he will remind you of everything I've said." So when you have aligned yourself with Jesus, when you have aligned yourself with salvation, he pours out his Spirit upon you. So for us, especially, not only bringing our harvest, but also bringing ourselves. And if we would bring ourselves, and if we would yield ourselves to him, he would pour out upon us, and he would give us that blessing. So what are these patterns? Sabbath, Shavuot, Jubilee, what do they all have in common? And that's the second fruit of the Spirit, peace, or by true definition, shalom. Let me say that again. All of these things, if we would recognize them, all of these things have one thing in common, and that is peace and shalom. Let me talk to you about the word Sabbath. In Hebrew, it's Shabbat. Say Shabbat. Okay, the root word of that is Sheba. Say Sheba. How many of you have ever heard of the Queen of Sheba? Uh-huh. Okay, this word plays into that. How many of you have ever heard or read the Bible and saw this town called Beersheba? Uh-huh. Okay, that means a few things. Sheba has three meanings that I want to talk to you about. Sheba is the word that they use for the number 7. Okay, so if you're counting, you would say Sheba for 7. The second is an oath. And the third means fullness or completeness. So Beersheba was a town called the Well of an Oath. The Queen of Sheba came from an oath. And if you read about the Queen of Sheba in the Bible, keep that in mind. Keep that word oath in mind. That's free. I'm going to inject that in there for you. So they were instructed to work 6 days and rest on the Sabbath, because when they did, God made an oath to restore them to their fullness and their completeness. There's a blessing to be had in Shabbat, in Sabbath. In order to gain peace, though, we must see that Jesus, Yeshua, which his name means salvation, we must see that he is our Sabbath. How many of you know that? Matthew 12, 1 through 14 says this: At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples became hungry, and they began to pick the heads of grain and eat. But when the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, Look, your disciples do what is not lawful to do on Sabbath. But he said to them, Have you not read what David did when he became hungry? He and his companions, how he entered the house of God, and they ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those with him, but for the priests alone. Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple break the Sabbath and are innocent? How many of you know that's because they're working? Yeah. But I say to you that something greater than the temple is here. But if you had known what this means, I desire compassion and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the innocent. For the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. Now he goes on to prove it. Departing from there, he went into their synagogue, and a man was there whose hand was withered. And he questioned Jesus, asking, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? This is so they might accuse him. And he said to them, What man is there among you who has a sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will he not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable then is a man than a sheep? So then it's lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Then he said to the man, Stretch out your hand. He stretched it out, and it was restored to normal like the other. But the Pharisees went out and conspired against him as to how they might destroy him. How many of you can read that and see that in Jesus, in Yeshua, there is rest? When it talks about the Sabbath, guys, it means fullness and completeness. If you've walked in here today and you're carrying burdens with you, you're carrying diseases or sickness with you, if you've walked in here today and you're carrying anger or rage or any types of the fruit of the flesh, I want to say this: you haven't yielded. And listen, I'm not saying that if you're sick that you haven't yielded. I'm saying that if you're walking in here and you're not looking to Jesus for that rest, you're not looking for true Sabbath. This day isn't Sabbath day. This day is a day of first fruits. But I want to say this: I don't care what day you are in, if you don't see Jesus as your Sabbath, if you don't see Jesus as your mode for rest, you're not seeing true Sabbath. Because Jesus said this, and it's a promise in the Bible: all of you who are weary, all of you who are burdened, all of you who are heavy laden, come to me and I will give you rest. I will give you Shabbat. Sometimes I think we're good enough to throw out a prayer for healing or throw out a prayer that God takes something away from us, but we're not intentional about it. We're not intentional in believing that prayer will be answered. That prayer will be answered, that I will be healed. That prayer will be answered, that he will provide for me. That prayer will be answered, that he will take away this horrible feeling that I'm dealing with inside, whether it's that bitterness or selfishness or rage or anger or whatever it is. We're not willing to open our hearts and our minds up to the fact that he will do what he said he will do. But if we would do that, we would understand that he is our Sabbath. That's why it was set up, guys. We got to be able to yield to him everything that we do. We yield to him our work, and on the seventh, we rest. I encourage you all to take a seventh-day rest if you can. I encourage it. If you can, if you don't have to work on the weekend, amen. Take that, cherish that, treasure it, because when you find rest, you find restoration. When you find rest, you find rejuvenation. When you find rest, you find that release. And that's what it's about. Back to the Shavuot. This is a time when God poured out his spirit for a purpose. See, God wants to update. He wants to upgrade. And he wants to provide for you because you have a calling. How many of you know you have a calling? How many of you know you have a purpose in life? Amen. You have a calling. You aren't here for nothing. God put you here for a reason. And he loves you so much. He wants to provide for you. He wants to update, upgrade, and provide for you. How many of you have smartphones? How many of you are glad you don't have a smartphone?
Yeah.
Yeah. How many of you love just getting all of those app updates? You know, it's, you see the number one right beside, you know, on that app or whatever. Or you see it. You go into your settings and you go, okay, now I gotta do an upgrade. Once a year, they give you an update or an upgrade because they come out with a new software. And then all the apps have to update again. How many of you are tired of that?
Yeah,
me too. Just, and I'm OCD, right? I see those numbers on my home screen, and I want to make them disappear. And I make them disappear, and about 2 hours later, there's about 5,000 more that show up on. I either have way too many apps, or there's, I don't know, or they can't get it right on their updates. I don't know. But God wants to do the same thing for you because you have a purpose. God wants to update you. God wants to upgrade you. How many of you could use an upgrade? I could too. Yeah, I want an upgrade. And how many of you know that God will provide for you? Everything that you have been called to do, he has a purpose, but he has a provision for you, and he wants to give that to you. That's important. You have to remember that. So when you're walking in your everyday life, God's not going to go, well, I don't need to worry about providing him for here or her for here, but I'm just going to focus on this purpose. No, he's going to make sure you have every single thing that you need in order to do his will, because that's what you are here for ultimately. That is why you are here. This day, this Shavuot, this is a time when he's ready to upgrade you. He's ready to update you and provide for you. But you have to yield to him. So not only do you have to yield your work to him, and we take that Sabbath, you have to yield your harvest to him. And we take that Shavuot. We recognize that Shavuot because he will come back, or he will multiply your blessings. Let me say this to you also. Your calling is not one and done. It's ongoing, okay? So if you think, man, I fulfilled my calling in life, now what? I'm going to enter into retirement early or something like that. I don't know. That's not true. There's no such thing in the Bible as retirement. Jim Seekers pointed that out one day, and he goes, oh, can't blame him. There's no such thing as retirement in the Bible because your purpose is ongoing. Retirement, full rest, that's going to come when you leave this life, okay? When you go into the next, he's got a rest prepared for you that's eternal. But until then, you've got something going, and he's got something cooking in you, okay? So I'm called, for me, for example, I'm called to be more than just a Sunday morning worship leader. In fact, I believe I have multiple callings, and probably at the same time, and I believe that you do too. Might look different than mine, but God has a provision for all of those callings. He says this in John 15:6, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide. So whatever you ask the Father in my name, what will he do? He'll give it to you. Whatever you ask for, whatever you ask for, did it say only some things? Mm-hmm. Whatever you ask for, he has a provision. Whatever you ask for in my name, the Father will give it to you. Because you did not choose me, I chose you, and I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide." You're created for a very specific purpose or multiple purposes, and they're unique to you. And he has every provision that you'll need. It will bring him glory, and it will bring you shalom. It will bring you peace. So how do you get it? The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek first is about yielding your harvest, yielding your work, yielding your heart to the Lord, to his Spirit. So the final method of peace involves the last of the patterns that I haven't mentioned, and that's this idea of Jubilee. Again, Jubilee years were a time of liberty, debts were canceled, slaves were set free, and the land was returned to its owner. It was a time of release and restoration. Can somebody say peace? Yeah, there was peace in that. We need to declare this time, right now, right now, right now, we need to declare this time as a time of jubilee. So I want to ask you this. What is holding you back? What have you brought in here that's holding you back? Do you have bitterness? Do you have anger? Do you have jealousy? Do you got envy? How about unforgiveness? How about any of the fruits of the flesh that we talk about in Galatians 5? This is a jubilee, and we need to release those things. Maybe there's a person that you need to release. Let's be honest. We think we're holding them hostage, but by not letting them go, I think that they're really holding us hostage. And if you don't believe me, I want you to take a step back for a minute and look at the damage it's done in your own life. If you think that holding a grudge against somebody is holding them hostage, I think that you probably got another thing coming, because I think you're as much enslaved as what you think that they are, and I think you need to release them. I think it's time. This is a jubilee. This is a time of jubilee. If we're going to gain the fruit of the Spirit that is peace, that is shalom, that is completeness, that is representative of everything that we ever need in our life, then we got to yield our work, we got to yield our harvest, and we got to yield our hearts. And I pray that this is the day that you will do that. So here's what I want to do. I want to take a time, and I want to bow our heads, I want to close our eyes, and I want to ask a couple questions. How many of you have a person that you need to let go of when it comes to hurt feelings? How many of you have a person that you need to let go of? Okay. How many of you have hurt emotions that you need to let go of? How many of you are carrying around an emotion that you need to let go of? Okay. How many of you are carrying around a sickness or a disease that needs to be let go of? Maybe you can't, you don't feel like you can help it, but you know that the Lord can. The Lord can heal. Yeah. Yeah. Let's pray. Lord, you set these things up for us. It's all right in front of us when we read the Bible. You set a Sabbath up for us that we might find rest. You set a feast up for us that we might gain your blessing and gain it in a hundredfold. You set a year up where slaves were canceled, or slaves were set free and debts were canceled, and land was given back to its original owner. Father, we confess to you that we're not only slaves to those physical things, but we're slaves to these things that are hidden in our hearts, these hurt feelings, these people that we've not let go of, unforgiveness that we've not let go of. We confess to you that we have sickness and disease in our lives, not only in our bodies, but maybe in our hearts and in our minds too. But Father, I claim this as a jubilee, and I claim that each person in this room would give that up to you. They would yield it to you, Father. And when they yield it to you, Father, I pray, and I know that you'll do it because you promised, I pray that you would pour out your blessing upon them. When they yield to you, Father, I pray that they would pour out their spirit upon you as long as they unite with Yeshua, the salvation, Jesus. I pray that they would do that today. And Father, I pray that they wouldn't just offer up a prayer that just satisfies the mind, but Father, a prayer that satisfies the faith, that they would walk in that faith, walk in that prayer. And I pray it all in the name of Jesus. Amen. How many of you want a year of jubilee? How many of you want to be set free? How many of you want your debts canceled again? Yeah, me too. Me too. I pray that you will go in peace, in true shalom today, okay? Can we stand up? I want to do one thing. In number 6, God had commanded Moses to tell Aaron to bless the people. And he offered up a blessing. And when he did, he said, if you would say this, you will put my seal upon my people. You would put my seal, and that they would go in blessing. So I want to put that seal upon you, and I want you to go in this peace, in this blessing, in this walking in the Spirit, okay? Here we go. In Hebrew, it says this, Yeverekaka Adonai Veishmeraka. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Ya'er Adonai Panav Alecha Vihunecha. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Yisa Adonai Panav Alecha Ve'asem Lecha Shalom. May the Lord lift up his countenance to you, lift up his spirit to you, lift up his face towards you, and may he grant you peace. Go in peace and serve the Lord today. Amen.